Lord, I thank you first and foremost for the heart of the Father that you have placed in this man. Lord, there's a message that's refreshing to our spirits that we get to hear. Because there's an individual who took time to sit with you in a throne room position. To know that his voice rings in that throne room. That you're good enough to hear him. That you reached into his circumstances and you decided to impart to him and place in him your heart as a father. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. That this is a moment of gratitude. That there's countless people that have been touched this weekend. And I can't tell you, there's countless people that are in ministry that are hearing this message. And they're becoming validated about what it is. They feel like the Father has been impressing upon their heart. They've come and they've spoken to me. And they're saying, this is validation. This is refreshing for me to hear. I feel like I have the inspiration to go back to my church in the region that God has placed me in and the city he's put me in and walk in who it is that I was actually designed to walk as, because I'm an image bearer of a Father that loves me that much. And I'm going to now release the very thing that I was designed to release. I'm going to stand in the very place that I was asked to stand. And so, Lord, I thank you for Dan, because he first stood among many great men of faith, among many great people that have just done simple, ordinary things that we think we should be doing. And I know that that's what it is in his heart. He's just going, this is just what you do. You just overwhelm the person on the airplane next to you on the flight home. You just let the Father's heart just run all over him when you run into him in the grocery store. And so, Lord, I thank you for him. Lord, that the one thing that he would walk away from San Diego with is not how wonderful our 365 days of sunshine is, but that he made an impact, Lord, and that he would see, he would hear, and he would know that what he's doing is sowing a legacy into a region that needs unity and needs the heart of the Father. And so as a unity in this region, we just say yes and amen here tonight. We come into agreement and we just say thank you and we say yes and amen. As a family, we say yes and amen and amen. Thank you very much. We love you. Thank you for what you do. Are you guys ready to party down? Why don't you do this? Why don't you guys stand up? Give Dan the biggest round of applause you can ever imagine. Come on, there you go.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, you can stop now. God, you're good. Well, I'll tell you what, Miss Lynn got up and shared that vision. I was ready to say, well, it's been fun. See you guys. I didn't talk to her what was on my heart for tonight at all, other than she probably overheard me talking to my wife about praying for redemption and some of the things I said that I was going to pursue tonight. But that vision is exactly what I'm going to teach. Exactly. It's been burning in me since I've been sitting there, that it's so important to realize how much he removes sin, the stereotype, the identity, the remedy, the effects of sin in the earth. And we I got to show you scripture after scripture where you will not get talked out of it again. If you're a pastor and leader and you stumble over saying, yeah, but we're not perfect, we're always going to sin, you know, we make mistakes, we're always going to God, tonight, I believe in my heart, will change your language. Because that's not the point. That's not the point to boast in our ability to fail. Our point is to boast in his ability to make us clean and cause us to stand righteous, because only then will the tree be seen clear and only then will the fruit be produced clear. It's not humble to keep holding on to the past ability to be ruled by sin. It's humble to receive the finished work of Christ and the testimony of his blood. I don't know if you know this, but the Bible says you're free from sin. Yeah? And I constantly have heard since I've been saved, yeah, but brother, we're always going to sin. What are you saying? You're perfect? You don't sin? We're missing the whole point. We're so geared to think sin that we can't hear righteousness. We so think that our ability to sin is our identity as sin. So we continue to stay confused in our identity and produce the same things. If God can change the way you see yourself, he'll change the things that are produced through your life. The Bible teaches that righteousness itself will produce the fruit of holiness without you trying to be holy. So I'm going to yield to the grace of God by faith and let grace save me and become the man that's possible, irregardless of all our past experiences and the people that we've honored that slipped and fell. And we keep following one another's experience, and we're supposed to be following Jesus. So why don't we just lay down the gauntlet and run through this thing and find out for ourselves what it's possible to become by the working of God's Spirit through the name and blood of Jesus. Why do we settle for what we were yesterday and what we felt this morning? Why don't we go after it and see what Holy Spirit is ready to form us and make us into? We believe that every man has his secrets. We believe that everybody has their little hang-ups. We believe that stuff. I hear it in conversations, language. It's implied in sermons. I hear preachers say, about getting frustrated, and they say, of course, nobody in that room's that way, right? Nobody did that yet today or anything, right? And then everybody giggles uncomfortably, assuming that everybody's living that way. And it creates a dullness in our lives and a dullness in our faith, and it allows us to associate with the weakness of the flesh instead of the strength of the Spirit. My Bible says, which I believe is the Word of God, and I believe it's possible to live by grace. My Bible says if I live by the Spirit, that's not a spooky thing. That's living by truth. His word is truth. His word is spirit and life. Spirit of God is the spirit of truth. He's Holy Spirit. To live by the Spirit is to live by the truth. He who lives by the Spirit won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Something changes when you live in truth. You continue in it and it makes you free. And all of a sudden, you're not a prisoner to the way you were. You're a slave to righteousness. And its fruit to holiness. Without you trying to be holy. Somewhere along the line, we thought it was humble to identify with what we were and humble to talk ourselves down as if to elevate him. But he says, as he is, so are we in this world. And as the Father sent me, I send you. You're predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son. Put off the old man and his deeds and be renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who sent you. The things he does, you'll do also if you believe. Do you need any more scriptures? There's new life through Jesus Christ. And when you preach like this, people get nervous, especially teachers and pastors. And they go, they're like, where is he going? What's he saying? He's perfect? I'm not saying that. I'm not even thinking perfect. I'm thinking righteous. I'm thinking clean in his sight. I'm thinking he loves me and values me, and he took care of the problem to put the answer and the truth back inside of me. The person of God to live in me because he made me clean. He's not living in a dirty apartment. And if you don't see yourself the way he sees you, how will you be unveiled and approach him with confidence? How will you have commune with him and walk in the cool of the day if you don't see yourself the way he sees you? We pray for healing all the time. I'm concerned we only pray for healing because we're hurting. We pray for healing because of the remission of sin, because of the judgment of righteousness, because He took away the old to give the new. We're inspired by truth. The Word of God brings faith. We don't pray for healing because we have tremendous need. We pray for healing because we have a covenant of redemption. If you only pray for healing because you have great need, you're discouraged if there's no healing. You're stymied. You have to create doctrine to back up your failed experience. We're always searching. We're always writing a book that's already finished. You don't pray because you have a need. You pray because you have a covenant. You don't pray because of the fear of death. You pray because of the promise of life. You don't pray because you're afraid. You pray because of destiny and purpose, and you want to walk it out all your days and leave a legacy that brings honor to the King. You're not praying to survive. If all we're doing is survive and die already and go be with Him. You're called to shine. Am I too over top right now? You're right on the front. You ought to see your face. You're all right, aren't you? This girl, I just looked at you, that almost made me cry. She's like, you're so precious. You are beautiful in the Lord. Wow, you blessed my heart. Good, she helped calm me down a little. I'm sorry, I'm not mad at anybody. I just hear us say stuff so shallowly sometimes. It's so rhetorical. It's so cliche-y. It's so churchy. Oh. And the only reason we say it is because it backs up our own personal experience. But it doesn't look like Jesus, so why do you wear it? We're not following who we've been and what we're capable of being apart from Him. We're following who He is and what we're capable of being in Him. And this identity of sin and this sin-free thing, it is so scriptural, it astounds me that we have all the teaching, seminary, books, and studies and miss the most powerful, important part of the gospel, that you've been cleansed and washed and made free from all sin. You can't live victorious unless you understand that. You won't shine. You won't have confidence. You won't have access to the Father unless you understand you're holy and pure and blameless in His sight. And if you don't see yourself that way, you won't live any different. If you believe you're the same, you'll live the same. And you just add language to your... I'll be all right. I'm looking back at you. Calm me down. I'll be all right. I'm not mad at you. This thing is in me. When I stood up here, I felt so humbled. I'm verge of tears. You guys have so respected and honored Jesus in me. I told you that. I told my wife that on the phone. I said, these people this weekend, I felt like I never experienced this. Like a corporate respect for who Jesus was in my life. And I said, it was overwhelming. And I said, they opened their ears. They're like open sponges to be taught. And I said, you just say it straight. And they're like, yeah, talk to me, tell me. Yeah. It's like we're in this family living room setting and you're just like, talk to me. Let's get this right. You know, that's what you guys have been. It's awesome. God can work with that. Like, yay. But see, here's where I'm at. I'm way past debate. Like a person that just debates, I'm the wrong guy. Like I'm convinced. Don't you get it? I'm possessed. I'm brainwashed. My brain's been washed. I got 21 years of living with me in Jesus. You say, well, I don't believe you. You don't have to. I believe me. Well, I don't think it's possible. That's because you're not believing the gospel. All things are possible to them that believe. And all things are possible to God. So why are you boasting in your unbelief through your own experience? Why are you comparing yourselves among yourselves? Paul said it's not wise. We're not following one another. We're following Him. It's too late to debate with me. I live with me. I know me now. And I love who I've become. I'm not looking to be changed. People want to argue this shit and they say, yeah, and they try to debate with me on healing. I've seen too much. I haven't seen enough, but I've seen way too much to change my mind. You just want to build a doctrine on what hasn't happened. Why don't you build a doctrine on Jesus' life? Circumstantial evidence. Yeah. We're still living in fear. People are frustrated. A lot of ministers are having a hard time staying encouraged. And then when something doesn't happen, we blame it on something else. Man, maybe we just need to get a revelation and grow in the knowledge of Him. Come to the full measure of the stature of Christ and walk in a place of unchangeable faith. Yeah?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Come on, man. We're having a hard time just holding on to our emotions, but we're expecting cancer to go because we read how to pray. We're fearing cancer. We're afraid our friend's going to die. We say the right thing and think it's a formula. No, it's a revelation. It's Christ in you. It's powerful. You guys okay? Okay. And I'm so overwhelmed. I mean, I just feel like crying and I don't know why. I'm not mad at you. None of you. Are you kidding? You guys are the best. You have no idea. I'm not saying this for you like me. I think you already do. Most of you. I'm saying it because it's like it's this corporate thing that's going on. It's trying to rob us from this place that's paid for, this place we're called to. And if we don't preach it clear, if we just keep sin alive and the consciousness of sin alive, keep telling people, well, you got to be careful with this grace movement. Well, understand that there's people out there that ain't preaching everything clear. Understand there's too much liberties. Understand there's too much stiffness, too much looseness. But why don't you get off the pendulum train? Why don't you find Jesus in the healthy place? No, well, it's just so legalistic. And that's, let's get more liberal. Well, let's tighten up because they're so loose. Well, let's get more free. Well, let's get more. Oh, shoo, shoo. And we're just reacting to one another.
Yes.
And Jesus is right here in the happy. Sway, sway, sway. So somebody of esteem in the body speaks out about the grace movement. It makes it now the new believer has a red flag for the word grace. And when he hears somebody preach grace, it's warning, it's sad. You're saved by grace. You are what you are by the grace of God. His grace abounds. Where sin abounds, grace abounds more. He's the God of all grace. Grace isn't a permission slip to sin. Grace is a reason to change. It's the etching tool of God. It's the sculpting of God. It's His working ability on your behalf to make you what you could never be on your own. You are saved by grace through faith. Here's a simple barometer so you don't push away grace. If you hear a man preaching grace apart from transformation, it's perversion. I'm not preaching this you're free from sin things and you can go around doing your thing proclaiming something. I haven't found a way to sin and get away with it. I've found a way to be free, and that impresses me and it puts integrity back in me and honor and diligence and a love for God. Yeah? This isn't some loose thing. I'm not some grace preacher. Don't you mark me. Because there's negative things out there about grace and people are writing that don't even know Him. They're just opinionating and reading on the surface and giving their opinion. And then unlearned people read their opinions instead of seek the Lord or find out the truth. And here's God wanting to do something amazing. And if we're not careful, we just open the door to keep shooting ourselves in the foot. He already came. He became sin so we could become righteous. He died. He was buried. He rose again. That vision she had couldn't be clearer. He who knew no sin was made to be sin so I could become right in the sight of God. He rose, Romans 4, for my justification, where God sees me as if I never, ever sinned. Holy, blameless, above reproach in his sight. Well, what are you saying, brother? You don't ever sin? I'm not even thinking that way. Get out of there. It's such a lie from hell. Why are those strongholds there? Why do we hear that stuff that's so negative that keeps the truth from dawning in our heart? Because it's rational. Because it's reasonable. And it's the way that seems right. And it never produces life. It binds you to fail. And then when you do, there's no conviction because you expect to, because it's who we are, you know. You hear how much of a lie it is? I'm never expecting to fail. I don't even think about failure. So if I would find myself in failure, I would run to God and find grace and wisdom and strength. Yeah? There's two things I personally never, ever, ever think about in my personal walk with God. It's sin and the devil. Why? He doesn't see me for sin. He sees me for his son. And the devil's a cut off withering branch coming to nothing. And he has nothing in me. He loves it. He loves it when you turn on them lights and put him up here. Because he doesn't have an identity and he loves when you give him one. He loves when you acknowledge him and fear him and believe him. He loves it because he's cut off. Coming to nothing. So he loves that moment of time you make him something. You're made in the similitude of God. You are made for God's image. And Satan loves nothing more than to reduce the similitude of God to look just like him. He loves when you're hopeless because he is. He loves when you're angry because he is. He loves when you're bitter because he is. And he feels like he's winning when he makes what was made to look like God look like him. And the sad thing is he gets us to believe that's who we are. Instead of a lie. Come on. I don't think I'm talking in riddles. I never think of the devil or sin. Because neither of those things produce life. I think of righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Yeah. So if the devil shows up, you deal with him and push him out of the way. If sin tries to rise its ugly head in your life, you don't get in denial, ignore it. You realize it, you run to God. Don't run from God and put on some silly fig leaf covering of yourself trying to hide behind. You come out and you run to God. And you recognize that is so not who you're created to be. And that so not is your desire in your heart. And you begin to thank God for the truth that's working in your life that exposes this for what it is and separates you from its truth. And all of a sudden you say, wow, that isn't truth because that isn't me. I used to think I was prone to this, but I'm prone to you and your nature and your love. God, thanks for sanctifying me, loving me, restoring me, washing me. I'm wiser than I was 5 minutes ago. I feel empowered, God. Your love can't fail. Nothing can stop this if I keep my eyes on you. That sure beats crying for 3 days and losing your productivity and getting condemned. Believing you're not worth anything, so then you live up to that lie too. And then 6 months later, you try to crawl out of a hole and get delivered. Come on. Man, I'm preaching to you. I hope you're here. Yeah. I feel the gospel off me, I'm telling you, I do. We're going to have fun. We're going to pray for some things tonight. You pay attention and you stay humble because we're going to pray. I'm going to pray for some people tonight myself because I want to. Things are going to change. Not because I'm praying, because of what I see and what I'm believing. If you've been a young girl cut and caught up in that cutting thing and you live through seasons of darkness and you hurt your body, I'm telling you, you can get new skin tonight at this altar. You got an STD, that thing's coming out of your blood. You have hepatitis. It's no match for the finished work in the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to preach this thing like a madman, and God is going to back it up because he's Lord. Yeah? People make mistakes in their life, and the mistake marks them. And then their heart changes, and they're actually sincere and wish they didn't do what they did. And then condemnation tries to grip them, and regret tries to grip them. And then the mark in their body tries to remind them. And next thing you know, they're changed, and they love God, but this thing is telling them this. And the truth is, God will never judge you for where you've been. He'll judge you for what you've become. So why is where you've been still judging you? If old things pass away and behold, all things become new, then I guess old things need to pass away and all things need to become new. I guess you don't say, well, I deserve this, where I earned this. Well, I shouldn't have went there. Well, I knew better to sleep around. Well, you said you knew better, but you do now. So Christians receive these marks because they say, I should have knew better. And they get self-condemned, and they get self-reasoned into staying the same even though they're changed. And the blood of Jesus is speaking better things. Amen. You're a new creation in Christ. Old things passed away. I've been a part of baptisms where this cutting thing was a thing among the girls, and they get born again, or they get up there to get baptized, and one after the other, you put them under the water and bring them up, and they check their bodies and start screaming. One after the other, you say, who's next? Who's next? God judges them as if they never lived in a season of darkness, numbness, and blindness. He judges them in righteousness, and he makes what was wrong right. And he restores them before his presence and says, you're my girl, you're my love, and you're beautiful in my sight. And they go, yeah! I've seen several girls at the altar so marked they wouldn't wear short sleeves in warm days because they were tired of explaining their arms. And under their shirt, while they were being prayed for, Jesus had the nerve to give them new skin. Amen. I've seen several people come off of liver transplant lists because of hepatitis. God didn't get them on the transplant list and get them a new liver through a person. He just gave them one and took them off the list. I know those people personally. Countless hepatitises have screamed out of bodies because of the blood and body of Jesus. And we're going to pray that way tonight. Yeah. It's not some charismatic thing, and it's not some, ooh. It's Christ crucified and raised from the dead. And you're justified. Just as if you've never sinned. I see people come running up for prayer just crying and crying because this thing's marking them. It's breaking their heart. They go home and they suffer the effects. They look down and there's the genital warts. They're afraid to get in a relationship because they look at this thing and go, oh man, now I'm going to have to bring somebody into this and they're going to have to jump this hoop. Probably be better to just receive grace and the gift of righteousness. I was in a service a while back, and a lady was 34 when she was 17. She was sure she'd never sleep with any man but her husband. She fell in love with this man. They were engaged. She figured, I'm going to marry him anyway. We might as well just go ahead and jump into it. So she went ahead and jumped into it. Ended up breaking up and never getting married. When they slept together, something changed. Something got weird. Never worked out. Trouble is, she's covered with genital warts. Three different doctors said, we can't explain this. We've never seen anything so profuse. It is the most profuse 24/7 thing we've ever seen. We don't even know what strain it is. We're sorry. So for 17 years, she is profusely covered vaginally with warts. Never had a relationship since that age of 17. So ashamed. So afraid, so embarrassed, didn't want to bring a man into that dilemma and expect him to understand. So she just stayed celibate and single and said, Jesus, be my husband. In her heart, she wanted married. In her heart, she wanted children. In her heart, she was sad because years are passing by and her body's covered with warts from the mistake of a 17-year-old. She's not 17. She's 25, 28, 30. Now she's 34. She's not the same girl. She's a woman of God. She has grown and matured in Him. She's not a sleep around kid. She's not a 17-year-old confused. She's a woman of God. So I have a question for you. If that's not her, then why what she did is sticking on her when that's not her? Well, brother, you made your bed. You got to sleep in it. That is not the gospel. He made your bed. Why don't you sleep in it? You say you reap what you sow only when there's never repentance. You repent and all things become new. You're too late to argue with me over this. You can let people stay the same if you want and come up with a theology that has no power. But I had the honor of praying for her without even knowing what she was going through. And she pulled me and Pastor and his wife into a room, trembling in the morning. Because when she got home and opened the key to the door to her house, the presence of the Lord hovered over her and she froze in her doorway. And He said, "Don't you be afraid to look and see what I've done to your body." 17 years later. 17 years is 17 years. But something changed. She ran in and inspected herself and cried and cried and cried. She laid in her bed and cried and cried and cried. Had a little love fest with Jesus. She fell asleep early in the morning, woke up, seemed like a dream. Checked her body, cried and cried and cried. She came running into church and told us the testimony in private. She wept and looked me in the eyes. She talked about payday. She said, "Who knows, Pastor? Perhaps I'll find that man of God and have some children with him. And we could be a family." I said, "Perhaps you could. Bless you." I got to preach something out to you quick. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 real quick. We'll get back on this topic and we'll pray for folks, okay? While you're turning to Hebrews 10, I want to ask you a favor. When I pray call those folks up to pray, I don't want everybody running up here because you want me to lay hands on you or want prayer for me. I only want you to come up here if you fit the description. Come on. You honor that. Will you honor that? I was just in a church and 2/3 of the people ran to the front. And I said, "Wait, they're a church that's taught if a man has an altar call, whether you fit or not, run. Go get what he got. I can't give you what I got. I can't give you my relationship." Impartation is real, it's scriptural, but it's so overpreached and it's become idolatry and we're taking a shortcut to God. Why don't you go be with Him? Impartation is scriptural, it's correct, it's way blown out of proportion in this hour. It's become idolatry, it's taken the place of relationship. You don't just look for everybody that has something you don't and have them lay hands on you and lay it on me, baby. It ain't like that. You're robbing yourself of intimacy. You can't run up to me, "I want what you got. Lay your hands on me. I want what you can." I can't give you my history with God. I can't give you my bedroom time. Why do you want the fruit of my life of being with Him without you being with Him? Go be with Him. So when I have this altar call, I need you to honor that. It's not just an altar call for healing. It's an altar call for people that mark themselves along the way and are still carrying that mark even though they're saved. We'll still pray for the sick after that and we'll make sure we touch everybody's life tonight. But I don't want you just coming up here because you need prayer for something. Please listen to what I'm saying. There's a reason. Because there's faith in the area I'm preaching. And there's people that fit this description that actually deep in their heart feel like they earned it and deserve it. That's why it's a separate altar call. Years ago, I said, "Lord, why doesn't this just fit in with healing?" He said, "Because the people believe they're responsible and they earned it and they accept it even though they don't want it because they believe it's their fault." So I separate that thing and make it separate. So you can be relieved from the responsibility that you're sorry for. Because if there's godly sorrow and there's repentance, then it's not you anymore. So it's time to let go of guilt and condemnation and shame and yesterday's sadness. And I wish I wouldn't. And why'd I have to? And man, if I wouldn't have went there, I shouldn't have. Whoa, and that stuff will eat you alive and bring death to your soul. He wants you free and clean tonight. And when some of you walk up here, you'll realize that he loves you. It's all right. She's fine. I promise you, we're just getting going. I see God do so many things through this message. I've watched people drunk driving and paralyzed from nerve damage. Their bodies just pop alive. I've seen things. I've seen deep scars from razor blades vanish in front of my eyes. Why? He doesn't see them for that. He sees them for his son, and the blood speaks better things. Redemption means brought back, bought back to original value. That sure beats a weak theology that says, well, you earned it. You put it on yourself. Turn it into a testimony. Praise the Lord. Yeah. What's a better testimony? I used to be covered with this. My blood used to have this. And it ain't there no more.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, I agree. Got a lady back home that was a heroin addict, selling her body for money to stay high. She got kids. Social service takes her kids. She comes to our hometown, drives way down to our state from 4 or 5 states away. The Lord said, go to York. She didn't even know why or where. She just went to York. She was crying out to God, I need help. Go to York. She goes to the woman's shelter. Happens that the lady that runs the woman's shelter is a leader in our church. She ends up at our church. She hears this kind of teaching. Her liver's swelling. She's dying. She gets straight. God changes her life. She's a woman of God. No desire for heroin. For the first time in her life, she's ready to live in Jesus. For the first time in her life, she's ready to be a mama. For the first time in her life, she's free. Social services, unheard of, unprecedented, never in the history of their state, released her children from another state to a mother out of state. Unheard of. You guys follow? That's not a foreign thought over here in the West, right? It's just, wow, unheard of, unprecedented. It's God. He turned the heart of the king in the hand of the Lord, like a mighty river wherever he wished. I heard a judge say once to a young man that had 2 life sentences over him, it's against my better judgment, but. You don't get reelected that way. Amen. But it came out of his mouth. Possession of drugs, possession of illegal weapons, trafficking firearms, automatic weapons. This kid's so young, and the judge says it's against my better judgment, but for some reason, I feel like I should release you into this ministry and see what happens. Why? Because God knows the heart of people. And he knows if that woman's sorry. He knows if that woman's sorry. And if there's no redemption, if there's no gospel, then sorrow only leads to regret. And regret leads to death. And all you do is hate yourself and you're mad at yourself and you're kicking yourself because of what could be and what isn't. And it's all because of you. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's the way it is without the gospel. Yes. So now we got a problem. They give her kids back. She has an apartment right down from the church. But she starts swelling up and she's on the liver transplant list and they're saying, it's not good. You're going to die. Hepatitis. Dirty needles. Promiscuity. Life of sin. Religious legalistic people say, well, she shouldn't have been running in that mess. She's running the pigsty. You're going to get covered with the manure. Oh, you lack of understanding. She came to a service where I was preaching like this. It shook her. She got up and walked out and went into her car. She didn't come up for prayer. She just got in her car. I'm not telling you to do that. If you fit tonight, you make sure you get up here when I ask you. I don't need to know what's wrong. It's none of my business. What you did is none of my business. that you get clean is my business. She got out in her car. She started to drive and she said, wait a minute. This is crazy. I can't have hepatitis. I can't. I'm a new creation. I've been bought with the blood. I'm not a heroin addict. I'm not a hooker. I'm a woman of God. I'm a mother. I have a destiny. I can't have hepatitis. All things are new. She starts freaking out and preaching the sermon to herself with passion. You say, see, it's all emotionalism, mind over matter. Okay. Then why every time your mind wants to be better, you're not if it's mind over matter? So unfair to turn the gospel into mind over matter. Her next checkup, they said, we don't know what's going on. We don't know how to tell you this, but your liver's functioning. You have normal numbers. And honey, watch this. Watch. Because I preach, it's as if you've never sinned. It's as if you've never sinned. God sees you as if you've never sinned. Watch. They said, don't clap yet. Just watch this. They said, "Here, we don't only not see dysfunction in your liver. We don't see any markers, antibodies, or numbers for hepatitis. You have no evidence that you ever had it." Why? Because it's as if. Whoa. And those men that solicit these women that are just as lost might look at her and say, "Oh, I had her." No, you didn't. Not her. Oh, no, you didn't. That woman died. Yeah? Guess what they ended up doing? This is exactly what happened. It so perplexed medical science and the whole medical arena. They were so confused by it that to settle the confusion, they took her out of the file and the history of hepatitis. Which means, even though she won't lie, if they'd say at the Red Cross, were you ever diagnosed with hepatitis, da-da-da-da-da, she couldn't lie on that behalf. She'd have to say, well, yeah, in my former life. I guess if she'd find a place of faith and justify conscience, she could say no because she has new life. I don't know how that works with her. But what I'm saying is, technically, she could go give her blood. She's completely clean. And she was dying. That's just a couple little stories. I am so passionate with you guys. For the law, having a... Hebrews chapter 10. Let me ask you without putting you on the spot. Are you prepared? Can you throw some scriptures up there and we can just do it as a house? And if it's a problem, don't worry about it. You need to signal to me and let me know if you can or not. If it's a problem, don't worry about it. Are you back there? Oh, you're back there. I see. I was looking at these guys. You can do it, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Come on. So they're going to bring it up there, Hebrews 10. Tell me when it pops up. But I want you to understand that I'm going to give you several places to kill this lie in our lives that has tried to just stay with the body of Christ, this whole sin language. It's not healthy. It's not humble to walk around and say, well, you know, I'm a sinner. I mean, I have tendencies. You know, I'm sure not perfect. This is not the goal of the gospel. The goal of the gospel is, wow, God, you've purified and cleansed my heart. And even in weakness, you show me who I really am called to be. And you separate me from those lies and you put strength in me and increase. Wow, you're fashioning me. Wow, you're creating a greater thing in me. Wow, God, I'm so excited you love me. I'm so honored to be your son.
Yes.
Yeah? Look at Hebrews 10. For the law, having a shadow of good things. And I don't know if you can do a certain translation. I read the New King James all the time. I would appreciate it. And if you can't, we'll go with whatever you got. Thank you. For the law, having a shadow of the good things to come and not the very image of the things. The law, it's a shadow of something good that's coming, right? It's not the very image of the things that are coming. can never, with these same sacrifices, the law, with these same sacrifices, the sheep, the goats, the little turtle doves, come on, which they offer continually year by year. Why? Because they were always conscious of sin and guilty of it. True? Come on, this thing is so simple and clear. It could never, never make those who approach perfect, complete, right? Perfected, washed, cleansed, whatever you want. You look it up. It means all that. For then, if that was possible, if that was happening, then would they not have ceased to be offered? Question mark. Next verse, thanks. Just skip, just go with me when I read. Thank you. Therefore, when he came into the world, oh, I'm sorry. Go to verse 2. And then we'll just scroll if you can. For then would they have not ceased to be offered? For the worshipers, once purified, would have had no more consciousness of sins. How plain is that? So the old covenant was a shadow of what was coming, but it didn't accomplish what was coming because they still were conscious of sin. And what's coming takes the consciousness of sin away. Amen. And the evidence that the new thing didn't come yet, they still were conscious of sin. But when the new thing comes, they won't be. Wow. Let's roll. Verse 3. But in those sacrifices, the lambs, the little goats, the little turtle, in those sacrifices, there's a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. It's a sign of good things to come. That means the blood that was coming can. Woo! I read my Bible. Therefore, when he came into the world, he... capital H. He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. Why? Because man lost this thing and man had to get it back. That's why he was born through a woman and didn't just manifest on the earth. That's why he suffered at points and tempted at every point. So he walked through life as a man and was our complete, perfect sacrifice, the captain of our salvation. Jesus fulfilled what man failed, crushed the devil and won this thing back and came up with the keys. Come on! Don't let this be an Easter story. This thing is so powerful. Therefore, when he came into the world, oh, okay, in burnt offerings, hey, we'll read it again. He said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you've prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, it's Jesus. Woo! Behold, I have come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do your will. Oh God, do you see how you find the heart of God through Jesus for you? Do you see how you see the love of God for you through Jesus? Man, don't you try to find the love of God through losing a job, car wreck, or having a tragedy in your life. The love of God is not found through life and its circumstances. The love of God should have already been found through the Son that was crucified. That way you can get rooted and grounded and never be moved away. And then faith can work through love. And you're never praying because of despair. You're praying because of covenant, because you already understand. I'm telling you all week long, this gospel is not a survival kit. It's not the meeting of all my needs. It's the answer of a new and transformed life. And it's a brand new and living way. Yeah? Previously saying sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them which are offered according to the law. Then he said, that's he, capital H, behold, I come to do your will, O God. Look what he does. He takes away the first that was a shadow of things. He takes away the first to establish the, whoa, we're in a new covenant, a new testament through his blood. Did we miss a verse? Or?
No, half of nine. Go back one.
Thank you. No, I'm sorry, nine. I know it's hard to follow me because I'm a preacher. Thank you. You're doing awesome. Thank you. Then he said, "Behold, I've come to do your will, O God." He takes away the first that he may establish the... Yeah. Go ahead. Thanks. By that will... Whoa! Whose will? His will. God wants you clean. God wants you set apart. God wants you sanctified. By that will, we have been, aren't being made. We have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Yeah. And every priest seems to still stand ministering daily, the offerings repeatedly, the same sacrifices. Well, conscious of sin. Well, you know, we're always going to sin, brother. Well, we'll never be perfect. Well, you know, I'm probably sinning right now. I just don't even realize it, you know. I think we're probably sinning while we're breathing, brother. If you're sinning while you're breathing, get born again. These same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Oh, but this man. Bunch of gingerbread cookies. Just clean. Yeah. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, sat down for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time waiting to his enemies are made his footstool. One more. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being set apart for his purpose. That's good. Thank you. Is that clear or what? Yes. Perfected forever. If you don't start where he finished, you'll never run well. You'll try to accomplish something that's already done. And you'll get caught in works. You'll get weary in well-doing. You'll get inwardly condemned. You'll get discouraged and you'll back up. You have to start where he finished. Now, it never fails when you're preaching like this. Somebody in the room has been tainted by the one-liners in the church, pulling scripture out of context. Well, if you say you have no sin, brother, you deceive yourself and the truth's not in you. Can you go to 1 John chapter 5 and we'll kill that thing while we're on it? Yeah. Who's ever heard people quote that one? Right in the face of incredible good preaching. You ain't ruining my good preaching with that one-liner. I'll just add it to my good preaching. Yeah. Yeah. Verse 5, we'll just start there, even though that's pretty intimate. 1, 2, 3, and 4. Who is he? Oh, no, 1 John chapter 1. That's really good, though. You want to preach that? That's really good. We can just pick a verse. This is the message. I'll tell you what, for sake of time, just jump to verse 5. That's intimate, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. I could have read that this morning. We'd have been right on track. None. Oh, it is? Okay. There it is. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Where does he live? Whoa. If we say we have fellowship, communion, co-union, koinonia with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Remember this morning how I talked about how, if you were there, I talked about how important it is to have intimacy and to know him and live your life out of knowing him. Yeah? So if we have fellowship with him, right, and we walk in darkness, we're lying. We're not practicing the truth. Stop hiding behind language. Get things right in your heart. Get alone with God. Get alone with a brother. Get some things straight. But don't say you're something you're not shining. See, I don't... Do you hear that I don't preach grace that gives you a permission to stay the same? That everything I preach is so confronting and challenging and etching and sharpening and it pulls you into another place. Yeah. The whole weekend it's like that, right? Yeah. Have I preached some easy grace that allows you to just do whatever and claim His grace?
No.
It's not even close. But yet you're not compelled and condemned in a fleshy way when I'm preaching. It actually inspires us because it's the truth. It's your value. It's how He sees you. And it separates you from all the frailty and weakness and the stuff we believe. And it puts something solid in your heart. Yeah? But if we walk in the light as He's in the light, we have fellowship, communion, co-union, koinonia with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from how much sin?
All sin. How much? All.
Okay, that's important. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. When you pull that out into one liner, it sounds like if you say you don't have sin in your life. He's talking about if you say you have no need for the blood. You're saying you've never sinned. You'll see it two verses later when he clarifies it. He's saying if you say you have no need for the blood, you're deceived. Because you were just cleansed of all sin. He's not saying you still have it if you're cleansed of it. He's saying if you don't recognize you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God and fallen the mercy and call on His name, you're deceived and the truth's not in you. And you're trying to get to God based on your own righteousness and you will never make it. Come on, this is clear. But if we confess our sins, sounds like we're getting born again. He's faithful and just. To forgive us, oh my goodness, and cleanse us from how much? Unrighteousness. So in three verses, we're cleansed of all sin, forgiven of sin, and cleansed of all unrighteousness. That sounds pretty holy.
Yeah.
Next verse clarifies the other verse. If we say we have... You see how dangerous it is when untaught people take one verse and try to make it say what it's not even saying. And how that stronghold tries to come in the body of Christ and hinder us from hearing the truth because we've been tainted by a lie. It says, don't let many of you be teachers. Don't you lead a Bible study to feel important. You lead a Bible study because you've been with Him and have something to say in Him. Don't you stand up and teach a crowd because you need to feel like you've arrived. You stand up and teach a crowd because grace released you into that position because you've been with them. Don't let many of you be teachers because there's a stricter judgment. Because you're responsible for what you communicate because you communicate by His Spirit from the place of truth. Good to see you guys. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
I see so many people needing to have something to say, feeling important because they get to do this and teach this. I don't think I'm judging you, but I've been handed so many ministry cards by people. They want to let you know they run a ministry, have a ministry, serve in ministry. It's not even connectivity. They say, well, I have this. I teach all the time. Here you go. Here's a card. And I'm like, something gets weird after a while. I understand the communication and connectivity. There's a lot of times it's not that. I'm a pretty strong personality. When I perceive that stuff, I don't just think about it and tell a friend, boy, I'll pull you aside and say, hey, I want to make sure you're not. And if I'm judging you, you tell me straight. But man, don't you let, and I'm sure, and I'm concerned, and I'll talk to you straight if I perceive that thing. Why? Because I care about you. And I'm going to get on a plane and fly back home, but I care about your tomorrow as well. And I don't want you using ministry to feel good. And using ministry to feel important. Yes. The shed blood of Jesus makes you important.
Yes.
The cross makes you important. Yes. That's solid. I'm sorry, did we lose you? Yay. If we say we have... We make Him a liar, and His word's not in us. Do you see what he meant by if we say we have no sin? We have no need for the blood. What are you talking about, the blood of Jesus? If you can be a champion for me, go to chapter 2, verse 1. Chapter 2, the next line is chapter 2, verse 1, but you'll have to probably go into the chapter. 2, 1 John 2, verse 1. Yep. My little children. Watch this. This is amazing. No one would ever pull a one-liner out if they actually read their Bible. When a pastor quotes that one line, well, brother, if we say, well, it just tells me he doesn't spend time with God and read his Bible. He's just living out of his seminary or what some other preacher told him, and he's believing that is truth. He hasn't even been with the Lord. I'm not being mean. I'm just calling this thing. We're so quick to speak and don't even know what we're speaking about. We just heard somebody else say it. You better be with him. Don't you quote a one-liner. You read 2-3 ahead, 2-3 after, and make sure you get a clear understanding of what he's saying. Don't you jump in and preach a Bible study from a therefore. You back up 2 lines and find out what it's there for. Come on. A lot of damage has been done in the body of Christ, pulling one-liners out to make them say what they're not even saying. You can read the Bible to try to find something you need, want, and desire, and look at it through that screen and believe that's what you're seeing. You can just want out of a relationship bad enough you actually believe the Lord says, get out of thou relationship. And you'll have scriptures and you'll piece them together and say, see? And the person you're talking to goes, huh? But you're sure that's what you see. Yeah. I'm sorry. My little children, these things I write to you so you may
not sin.
But you know you're always gone. And if you say you're not, you're a liar, deceiving. The truth's not in you guys. Come on. Is he saying that?
No.
That would be so weird. He just talks about being cleansed of sin, free from sin. If you say you have no sin, you're deceived. If you confess your sin, you're clean. And if you say you have not, you're deceived. Little children, I'm writing these things to you. He's teaching us righteousness, salvation, forgiveness, cleansed, washed in the light as he's in the light. I'm writing these things to you because this truth empowers you not to sin.
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
I'm writing this to you. He's saying you're not to see yourself as a sinner. You're to see yourself as washed and clean and cleansed. You don't wake up and try not to sin. You wake up and enjoy being in him. And righteousness produces its fruit to holiness.
Yes.
So that you may not sin. It doesn't say and when you do. Now I'm taking that as a gospel challenge right there. Not in my own strength, but in my faith. And I'm going to give Holy Ghost the opportunity to make me what's possible. And you're not my judge. I live with me. My conscience is very tender. I won't violate it. I won't violate my conscience because that's what shipwrecks your faith. I won't live outside of truth. I won't get in denial and compromise things. That's my decision. I don't need you to hold me accountable. My own consciousness does. Because I see him and love him.
Yeah.
You don't have to call me and make sure I'm doing all right. I do that to myself good enough.
Amen.
But if you want to call me and cheer me on, go ahead and ring me. But if, not when. Boy, I catch that stuff when I'm reading. If, not when. You're not sin waiting to happen. You're sons and daughters in the making. You're growing in righteousness, in unity, in understanding, in the stature of the fullness of Christ. We have an advocate with the Father. So if anyone sins, we have an advocate. What he's saying is, don't get judged, condemned, lose heart, and fall apart. You run to him and you let him wash you. Not enable you, wash you. And you deal with it and you say, wow, my life is made to be so much more than that. What a lie from yesterday. God, that is not who you are in me and who I am in you. And I just set myself apart by simple faith and thank you for your love. Thank you that you're burning truth in my heart and exposing that for what it is. My goodness, 2 short months ago I'd have did that and wouldn't even blinked. And now I see it is so not who you created me to be. God, I put it off and I put you on. And I thank you that I can stand wiser and sharper in your presence and walk in the light as you're in the light, your love. is amazing. You say, that's how you pray? If you find yourself in a sin, what would you do? Get condemned, cry, call a friend, and lose productivity? Yeah, I like this way too. I think it's the way. Romans 6, and we're done, and we're going to pray for some folks. You guys all right? I don't know where we're going to end up with time. Understand that sometime tonight, I don't know how long this is going to get because we want to pray for some folks. I'm going to pray for you. Then we're going to pray for the sick and everything. So it's probably time's going to keep ticking here. You know how I am. But I have to catch a flight tonight. So be prepared for that. I've been making myself available. You guys have taken full advantage of that. People surround me and talk and question. It's all good. You can tell I'm not tired of that. But tonight I doubt I'll be able to do that. And you guys need to understand that. I got to get to an airplane and get home, okay? So if I'm not available, understand that. And just be thankful I made myself available all weekend. I sure didn't hide in the back room, did I? I was like the last one to leave every time. You know this is, for me, my seventh service. For most of you, it's six. But some of you were back there for the seventh one. You can see how tired I'm getting. It's starting to wear on me. I'm having so much fun. Oh my. Oh. You have to understand that Romans 6 is written after Romans 5. I told you I'm deep. I'm such a deep man. The end of Romans 5, it says that where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. He knows how people think. And he's a teacher and he's making sure we're not thinking wrong. So he starts off the next chapter, which is not a chapter. It's one big letter. We just made it chapters. So he says, where sin abounds, grace abounds much more. And he says, so what shall we say then? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace would abound? Certainly not. Now watch. Some of us don't know this, and you'll see, because he asked four times about do we know and knowing. You'll see. Some of us don't know this. Some of us prayed a prayer to go to heaven. Some of us sincerely felt like we needed change in our life. Some of us came to God knowing we need forgiveness. Some of us didn't want to go to hell because we believed and heard a preaching on hell, so we didn't want to go there. I want to go to heaven. Some of us had marital trouble, so we got closer to God and started going to church. I'm just telling you, there's a whole lot of reasons people go after God. You got to know why you're a Christian. Because that's what determines how well you'll ride. If you're a Christian for you, you'll get disheartened, discouraged, and backslide and live up and down. If you're a Christian for His great name, His image, His purpose, and to love, you're well on your way. If you're a Christian for blessing, you'll feel disappointed. Because some of your needs are wants. They're idolatries. They're determining your disposition, and He should do that. Some of those things you're determined by that until that changes, you can't be okay. That's why it ain't changing. It's idolatry. You're okay in Him. And from that place, you believe for change. You don't lose your disposition through life. You gain it in Him. You don't say, I'll be better if He changes my spouse. Why don't you be better now? Stop letting your spouse be Lord while you're singing He is. Should we continue in sin so grace abounds? Certainly not. How shall we who die? We ought to teach the gospel this way instead of saying if you die tonight and don't know where you're going, pray this prayer. Boy, I know that's a stinger for folks. Because we're just consumed with getting people in the book of life instead of getting them transformed in life. The reason baptism has almost been lost in a lot of circles and it's an annual event is because it's all about salvation. It's not about transformation. So we don't take people through dying to live. We just get them in the book. They can stay hurt, selfish, broken, unforgiving, do church, pay tithes, and never be changed. How shall we who died to sin? You died to sin. Does that sound like, well, brother, you know you're always going to sin and you're not perfect. What are you saying? You never sin? Are you perfect? Does that sound like that? No. Wow. How shall we who died to sin live in it any longer? Next verse, thank you. Or do you not know? Very important phrase. Maybe you don't. Maybe we don't. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? What's His death? We'll find out. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death. There it is again. What's His death? Be patient, you're going to find out. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, we should walk in newness of life. For if we've been united together in the likeness of His death, there it is again, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, second time, you better know something. Come on, it's important. In all you're getting, get understanding. It doesn't say in all you're getting, get blessing. In all you're getting, get provision. In all you're getting, get breakthrough and favor. In all you're getting, get understanding. Or do you not know?
Oh my gosh.
Knowing this, that our old man was crucified. It's water baptism. Don't bring him up yet. The bubbles did not stop. It's holding. About 40 seconds after the last twitch. That's about the time you got most people. You got them. Wow. New life through Jesus Christ. Knowing this, our old man was crucified with Him. Oh my goodness. That the body of sin might be done away with. And we should no longer be bound and chained to serve its identity, its testimony, its stain and its sting. Go ahead. Next verse. Thank you. Oh, is God a blasphemer? Is God a heretic? Is He a liar? Is He right?
Yes.
Wow. Are you sure?
Yes.
You're sure He's right? I'm going
to
let you guys say this because it'll feel good. For he who has died... No, wait. Has died to what? Died to himself. Died to sin. For he who has died has been...
free from
sin. Yeah, but brother, you know you're always going to sin. What are you saying? You're perfect and you never sin? Now, come on. We all sin. You see how wretched that lie is? And how it keeps you from starting where He finished? The Bible says... you're free from sin. Next verse. Now, if we died with Christ, we were baptized in His death. We're going to find out His death in a minute. In two more verses, you're going to find out what He died to. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe we shall live with Him. Knowing the third time, you better know. Third time, guys. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Why? Death no longer has dominion over Him. Here's the death He died. Watch. For the death that He died to sin. Once for all. But the life He lives, He lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead. Does this sound like, well, brother, you know you're always getting sin. What are you trying to say? You don't sin? What are you, perfect? What are you saying? You don't have a sin? You reckon yourself. Do you see how He sees us as one? Did you notice that when He exalts Jesus almost in the highest way in the New Testament, like in Matthew 28, in Philippians chapter 2, name above every name, tongue, every tongue in earth, heaven under the earth, your Lord, it says, you likewise, you therefore. He gets up from the dead and He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Now go in my name. What's He doing? I'm giving you what I've become. I'm giving you what I've attained. I'm giving you what I got. because you're the embodiment of Christ. And then he knights you with a scepter of righteousness. Ting! And you rise before him in honor and humility, and you live the gospel.
Likewise, you reckon yourself dead to sin and alive unto God. Do you see how you wake up every day? Dead to sin, alive to God. Yay! Therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. See? It'll still come and try to say this is you. Little desires, flashbacks, memories. Stop buying into that stuff. Stop getting prayer for impressions. Stand in truth and stop becoming what you're thinking and feeling. Stop living by feelings. Let the truth make you free. Well, I had a bad thought. Well, go ahead and proclaim how pure your heart's becoming and how God's doing something new. Well, I just remembered the bad thing I did a year ago. Why don't you lift your hands and thank God you're a brand new creature and you're never going back and you're new. You don't need prayer. Stop believing impressions, flashbacks, memories, and dreams that aren't God. Stop thinking they're in you. They're outside trying to get in. Stop agreeing with them. Stand strong in truth and let truth keep you free. Yeah, but I need deliverance. You have been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Yeah, but brother, when I remembered it, I felt so dirty. Stop believing dirty when you're clean. I don't care if you felt dirty. Stop believing dirty. Because when you believe dirty, you feel dirty. You become dirty. When you feel dirty and you know you're not dirty because it's not you, lift your hands and say, God, I thank you. You've purified me. You've cleansed me. And that little thing that's going yak, 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 he's trying to break you, but he'll make you if you keep your eyes on truth. You don't need prayer all the time. You need to stand in truth and build a strong hood of truth in your heart. Yeah. I have watched countless good people succumb to memories, flashbacks, dreams, and impressions, and think what they're feeling and thinking is still who they are. If it bothers your heart, it's a sure sign it ain't you. Stop living out of a memory. Start living in truth. Stop selling cheap. You're not for sale. The gospel's enough and the work is finished. If you're clean, you're clean. You say, yeah, but I keep dreaming about when I slept around. Then you ought to wake up in your bed and thank God you're holy and pure and righteous. And that woman in your dreams, you don't know anymore because you're a new creature in Christ. Stop calling a friend and crying and saying, I'm having bad dreams. No, you're having good things because the bad things point you to the good thing. Let it springboard you to Him. What He's trying to break you in, He'll make you in if you keep your eyes on Jesus. Don't you ever, ever again after this night, church, don't you ever again present yourself as members and instruments of unrighteousness. Don't you see yourself that way. Don't you believe that. Don't you wake up feeling that. Don't you let impressions take you there. Don't you ever again present yourself as an instrument of sin and unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members, instruments of righteousness. Whew. Come on, this can't get much clearer. If I preach any better, this would be the best sermon we ever heard. For sin shall not have dominion over you. That means you're not going to get condemned even if you slip, but you're not expecting to slip. You're not making provision for slipping. He made provision, but He called you to truth. So He says it's not going to have dominion over you. Sin will not have dominion over you because you're not under the law, you're under grace. That's where pastors get scared, and this is where people mispreach grace. And they say, hey, it doesn't matter, do what you do. God knows we're going to sin. He always knows we're sinners, and He knew you were going to sin before He even sent His Son. So at least He made the provision to forgive us, and one day He'll see us clean and fix the mess. It's a lie from hell.
What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? We already settled it. Of course not. We died to sin. We're alive unto God. And we present our members as instruments of righteousness. Yeah. Next verse. Do you not know? Fourth time. You better know. I pay attention when I read. Fourth time. Do you? Isn't this a good sermon? Do you not know? You know why I know it's good? Because of the life I feel inside of me. The life I feel in the room. The countenance as I see on your faces. This is good news. It's not you bad people. You better shape up. You're disappointing God. And it's a wonder He even gives you the time of day. Now why don't you... Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves a slave to obey, what you believe is what you'll serve? Remember the other night I said it ain't unfair. I'm going to be raw with you. When this all thing all comes to an end, there's going to be two groups of folks. Believers and unbelievers. Not people with unfortunate upbringings and hurdles and traumas. And people that had a better ride and didn't have the hurdles and the obstacle course of life. There's going to be two groups. I believe this gospel or I didn't. Come on. It's sober right there. Come on, this is the truth I'm preaching to you. It's two groups. And you aren't going to say, well, I was praying for my spouse and you knew it. Why didn't you change them? You knew how they were overwhelming me. God, I'd have served you if it wasn't for my spouse. Why didn't you change my spouse? You won't even be able to think that in His presence. So don't let it work now. That's right, Jack. Do you not know that whom you present yourself as a slave to obey, you're that one slave whom you obey, whether it's sin leading to death or obedience leading to righteousness? Did you see why it's not healthy to say, well, you know you're always going to sin? What are you saying, brother? You don't sin? What are you saying? You're perfect? Why would you submit yourself a slave to that identity? Why do you think that's humble? It's deception. It's not knowing the Word. People that are doing that prove they don't know the Word. How many examples do I need to give you? I gave you three. I could give you more. I know you believe me. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, though you were. That means, you just look up the word. Chained and bound to serve. We're slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the... Not need, not condemnation, not fear. Not afraid of hell. Not just trying to get something restored. You obeyed from the heart, this form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Now watch. There's no reflection on Micah and all these other pastors here. I don't know them. I know they're preaching the gospel. Watch this. I have the microphone tonight. I've made sure I delivered it. You can't say you've never heard this. Paul assumes that this was delivered to the church. And in the church we live in today, people live their whole Christian life and have never heard what we heard tonight. Am I right? Oh my goodness, here we go again. You have to read this because I'm overwhelmed. Go ahead, read it. Wait, what? Is that up there? Now wait, you know you're always going to sin. What are you saying? You're perfect and you never sin? You see how twisted that lie is? What have you been?
Set free from sin.
What's the result of being set free from sin? Watch. Chained and bound to serve. You've been chained to righteousness and bound to serve its testimony for the rest of your life. Trees of righteousness, the planting of the... So whose will is it that you're this way? That He might be... How's that work? A tree bearing fruit after its own kind. righteous trees bearing righteous fruit, the nature of God through our lives, the expression of Him through our lives, covering the earth with His glory. Having been set free from sin, you became a slave of righteousness. We're almost done. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh, for just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness. See, here's what happened. You were slaves to uncleanness, and you got that testimony. So some people that had a good heart got condemned, knew they shouldn't have did it, but were compelled, did it anyway. So the tormenting cycle of I'm dirty, I'm defiled, I'm not for real, I'm a hypocrite, I'm not what I say I am, man, I'm a mess, I'm so screwed up, and all the stuff. And then that just keeps that tormenting testimony and cycle alive because you're a slave to uncleanness and lawlessness, and it leads to more lawlessness because you see yourself for what you're doing. The gospel makes you see yourself for what He did, pulls you out of darkness into light, out of the pit, out of the miry clay. And you get free. Watch this. So now present your members as slaves of righteousness. What's its fruit? For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. That means if you're a slave to righteousness, you're free in regard to
sin.
Shoo, the gospel preaches, baby. What fruit did you have then in the things which you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, oh my goodness. Read it. And having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness. In the end, come on, give God a shout for the gospel. Yeah! Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there any way? Is that? Oh, that's your water. I was going to drink it. Thanks. There's not much in there, man. No. I'm all right. Thank you, Jack. It's just warm. I just felt thirsty. I've been shouting. Thanks for your jug. He's got a well springing up over there, buddy. Spring up, oh well. He's passed me a gallon jug. Okay. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a old things. Behold. How many things? Look, it's not my fault. It's not my message. Don't even write me letters. It's the gospel. Any man be in Christ, he's a old things, behold. We talked about bringing new wine into old wineskins a little this morning. Bringing new life into old ways of thinking. Bringing new life into old motives. Bringing new life into the way that seems right to man. No wonder that thing keeps bursting. Yeah? A new identity brings a new way. Called the way. Romans 5 says that we were reconciled through the death of His Son. And if we were reconciled through the death of His Son, it says that God demonstrated His love for us while we were yet sinners. He sent His Son. And if God reconciled us and made peace with us while we were yet sinners, how much more will He save us from wrath through His Son? Right?
Yeah.
It's because He lives. He's alive. He's making intercession forever before the throne of God, mercy towards men. So if God saved us while we were yet sinners, how much more now that He lives, that He's risen and He's at the right hand, will He save us from wrath through that same Son? That means the law of sin and death. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has made me free from the law of sin and death. Before the blood, I sin, I die. Through the blood, I've sinned, I'm washed, I live forevermore. Wow. And you're frustrated over something? I don't think so. Your eyes are in the wrong place. We should be so freaked out and thankful. You say, well, life isn't fair. No, no, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Well, people didn't treat me right. Well, God sure did. You ought to start there. I'm serious. I'm not being mean, guys. We better let first things first here. We better not let anything matter more when it doesn't matter most. So if we're cleansed of all sin, we're cleansed of all unrighteousness, and anything that came into our life through the act of unrighteousness should be swallowed up with the cleansing. 1 Thessalonians 5 says that you be presented blameless. Blameless. Spirit, soul, and body, till He comes. He takes away the mark. I tell some of the same stories because they're just so powerful. I got hundreds of them. You have no idea. But this one's going to move you a little, and then we're going to pray for folks. There's this lady come up for one of these altar calls we're about to do. And I told him, I don't want to know what's wrong with you. It's none of my business. And I thank you, my brother.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Any of you that give a cup of cold water to the thirsty? You've done it unto me. Blessed are you, my brother. Excuse me. I was thirsty, man. Okay. Yeah. I'm feeling pretty perked up right now. You could tell how tired I was getting, couldn't you? Can you see me wearing down? Yeah. Somebody's going to sit beside me tonight. They're going to make a big mistake. They're going to be all innocent and say, so how are you doing, man? I'll probably say, well, I'm hanging in there, man. I mean, I got this long red eye home. You know, traveling's kind of a bummer, and I'm just hoping we're on time because I really like to get home. And kind of bummer because I got a long layover, but I guess it'll work out. Keep me in prayer. You don't think I'm going to say that? No? You're right. I'm not going to say that. Okay, let's get back to this thing. So I had this altar call. People come running up. This man did these like LSD stuff in his younger years. The hallucinogens. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And he did a lot of them. And he lost his concentration, his ability to think. He lost his memory, long-term stuff, sure, whatever. He wasn't the same. His mind got affected by drug use. So he couldn't concentrate. He couldn't work much. He couldn't carry a thought. He couldn't retain it. He was messed up. Because of his former days. But this kid, well, he wasn't a kid. He was well in his 30s, pushing 40. He's born again. He serves God. He ushers. He's full of joy. He believes he's saved. He's excited. He hears this message. He comes running up because his mind's. I touched him and just said, in Jesus' name. I was quick with it. It wasn't. I said, ushers, I don't need you. It's all right. It's not about flopping around right now. It's about getting clean. I just pray. And he goes, I mean, just things turned on. And he's freaked out. He didn't know what to do. He went, and I just kept walking. I didn't pay a lot of attention. I'm not used to it, familiar with it. I just know what God does. And I'm like, yeah. Found out later, he's overseeing one of the big ministries, doing schedules, thinking his whole mind's restored. And he's holding a major leadership position in the church 6 weeks later.
Thank you,
just one moment. Poof. Yeah? So I get halfway down. I'm into the center aisle. I'm halfway down. There's people lined up. It's a long, big front end there. The church of the church is pretty long. It's probably longer than this. I got right to the center aisle, and this precious young lady, she's in her early 50s. She's standing there. And I'm coming down. I'm moving kind of quick. I say, look, if I don't touch you, it's okay. If I don't hear a word, don't look for a word. You came to be free and clean from that thing. Be clean, be free, be redeemed. I believe it. And usually when there's a pile of people, I just have them all pray, and God will just do stuff, right? A lot of times people are healed before they get to the front because they're just, wow, you love me, you forgive me, I'm so not that person. Because I tell them, when you come up, don't come up ashamed, come up because it's not who you are. So why would this thing remain if it's not who you are? So you come up saying, this is not who I am. And you leave it here. I'm telling you, Holy Ghost, so leave it here. So I get to the lady, she grabs me by the arm and starts crying. And she's really emotional. And she says, I'm not that kind of girl. I'm not that kind of girl. I'm not that kind of girl. And it just grabbed my heart. And I'm like, I'm looking at her. I'm like, of course, honey. Oh, my goodness. And I'm like, she doesn't stop. She said, no, you don't understand. And she leaned in and started to talk. And I just like, ah. Because I didn't want to know. Never with anyone in her entire life but her husband. She's 52. She's never had a sexual sin in her life. Never. Never slept with anyone before marriage. Never slept with him before marriage. The only man she knew sexually her whole life, she's 52, married 30 years, was her husband. I think it's the most beautiful story. The world thinks that's boring. I think it's holy. We got a problem, though. Her husband bolted with a real young girl after 30 years of marriage. And immediately her identity got hit. She said, wow, I guess I'm not a woman anymore. I'm 52. I guess I lost my flair. I guess I don't hold it anymore. I guess I don't attract him. I guess I'm not. Yeah? And all of a sudden, the action of one man wrecked the identity of one precious girl. Not one sexual sin in her entire life. Never slept with a man in her life but her husband. And now she's feeling insecure. She's feeling unlovely. She's feeling old. She's feeling unattractive. Like any of those things matter in the sexual world to a Christian. Why do you need to turn someone's head and feel good about yourself? Are you kidding? You don't want anybody to lust you. You want love. Right. Why does it turn you on if girls understood men? Men don't really care what you look like when it comes down to it. They care that you have the right parts. Oh, I'm just talking. And if men were honest, they'd say amen. I'm talking the average man, especially not thinking Jesus. You ought to hear the jokes that men say. I'll be a little raw so you never fall into traps. Hey, what do you expect? Just put a bag over her head, man. Come on. You guys ever hear men talk like that? Am I telling the truth? I'm not being gross and mean and weird and out of balance. I'm being soberly real. You think because somebody wants you sexually, you're valuable? It means they're horny. Come on, think about this. That's right. No, it isn't. You guys with me? You uncomfortable? Don't be. We need to talk like this and get sober. We need to stop living at each other's expense and feeding lies. I've been around Christian dating things that are meat markets. And everyone sampled one another. I'm telling the truth. And then I have to speak into that stuff. This lady has never crossed the line one time in her entire life. And her husband did a really unfortunate thing to her. And he got his eyes on the lady 15 years younger and said, wow, I'll take this new model and enjoy the last season of my life. And left her behind. She took it so hard, and once you know, right after that happened, this fella comes along and starts telling her everything she needs to hear. And guess what she did? In real short time, this girl found herself with no clothes on, laying in a bed with this man. And this thing started to happen. And right in the action of it, she said it so polite. She said, we didn't even finish. She said, I got so horrified. I started to cry and I pulled myself away, grabbed my clothes and ran. You tell me that woman ain't broken. You tell me that woman ain't sorry. You tell me that woman telling me this, and I'm messing up. I'm messing up. I feel it now. And she said, and shortly after I started to get these symptoms in my body and things started to happen that were weird, and I had these breakouts, and I went to my family doctor. He knows I've been married 30 years. He knows I'm a woman of God. He looked at me strange and said, "What's been going on with you?" And I looked and I said, "What?" He said, "You have an incurable form of herpes. It's in your nervous system. It's going to cut years off your life and hurt your major organs." One mistake in 52 years sexually, and that thing bit her and poisoned her, uncurable. There's no mercy out there. That's exactly where he wants you. The enemy wants you. Moved by desire, moved by passion, moved by loneliness, moved by hurt, and get into some temporal plastic place of sensual temporal gratification, and bam, he's got you. That's it. That's it. Come on. And I'm so caught up by now with her story. You don't have to agree with me, you're too late anyway. I looked her in the eyes and I was so passionate. And I said, "You look at me. Who knows she's looking down? Who knows she's looking side to side?" I said, "Honey, look at me." I tipped her chin and put it right into my eyes, her eyes. And I said, "That's coming out of you. Do you hear me?" "Honey, that's coming out of you. And there ain't nothing nobody can do about it." And all I said was, "Get out of her in Jesus' name." No lightning, no thunder, no slain in the spirit. Just get out of her. And I went to the next person. 6 weeks later, I went back to that church, met the man overseeing the ministry, and she came running to me, ecstatic, lit up like a light bulb. "Pastor Dan, guess what? Guess what? What?"
Thank you, Lord.
"I've been checked several times in the last 6 weeks. You need 3 negatives till they release you. I've had 3 tests and everyone is negative. Pastor, it's not there. It's not in my body anymore." Yeah. Watch this. Watch this. I said, "Do you know why?" She said, "Yeah, because God is so merciful. He's so loving." I said, "Well, you're right about all those things, but those things need a place to land. Let me tell you why it's not in your blood." I tipped her little chin and said, "Because you're not that kind of girl." Yeah. See what's wrong with me? I got stories like that with real people. If I was making them up, I'm really sick and twisted and somebody ought to straighten me out. If I was living off your temporal ooh and ah, I'm a very demented man. If I'm telling you this thing so you give a big offering, I'm doubly demented. And obviously have no fear of God or belief in God if I'm lying to you. You figure that out. But time will tell. I got time on my side. There's something powerful about living with a clear conscience and knowing the truth. Yeah. Ain't nobody can mess with you again. Yeah. That's why I carry myself the way I do. Because I know. Here's what I need. Where's Henry? Is Henry here? Is my buddy Henry here? Worship Henry. Is he not here? Oh, Katie's here. Hey, Katie, did I tell you you're awesome? Yeah. Like, I leaned over to Lynn tonight and I said, "You have got to love Katie. Like, you just got to love you. You're amazing." Are you getting Henry? Is he around? How about Travis? Is Travis here? Yeah. Where's Travis? That's all right. Don't bother Henry. Travis is enough. Are you available? Can you come and play them keys for me? You weren't going to respond to this altar call, were you?
Who knows? I still will.
Like if you were gonna, I just have this belief you'll be covered. It'll be good.
Okay.
All right? Amen. But just flow. Just play with me. Now listen, you just do what you do. You love Jesus so much. I leaned over. I said, Lynn, I never got to meet that young man. I said, he's playing up there. I never really got to talk to him all weekend. What's his name? She said, Travis. I said, man, isn't he awesome? He does everything with full-blown passion. You're just the best, man. Do you realize how much talent is on this platform all weekend? And gift, we're blessed. These guys, I'm listening to their singing, their voices, their hearts. And I'm like, man, are we blessed. So I'm just going to let him play and flow and do whatever you want to do. You just love Jesus with those keys. All right? I don't want you coming up here if you don't fit what I'm talking about. I don't want you just coming up here because you need healing. We'll do that in a minute. I don't want you coming up here because you want the guest speaker to lay hands on you. I want you coming up here because you're carrying something that you brought upon yourself through former lifestyle, decisions, somewhere you went, and it's still marking you and affecting you. It's trying to get into your relationship, your marriage. You're trying to jump a hurdle with your spouse, or that thing came into your spouse. Then you both come up here. And we'll pray that that thing gets out of your marriage. You could have hurt an organ. You could have hurt your mental capacity. You could have something in your blood that's only there because of some place you went and something you did. Now watch this. Don't you be ashamed and say, well, I don't want people to wonder what I have. It's nobody's business. You say, well, I don't know what they'll think. Everyone in this room has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do you know the raw truth? There's people in there that should have a mark that never got one. There's people that made one mistake and had a mark. There's people here that should have a mark. And don't. Who lived in a way that you could have brought some upon yourself like I'm talking about? It just didn't happen, but you were in position for that. Wow. Thanks for being humble. So if you're on the other side of that fence and that thing did try to bite you and it did try to remain and you hurt yourself for the long run in the process, please be humble and come on up here right now and receive God's love. And as you come up here, you thank Him. He forgives you and He loves you. And you stand here and we'll pray when you're all here. Don't hesitate. Get up here right now. Thank you, man. Thank you, people. Get up here. It's nobody's business. Don't tell me why you're here. I don't need to know. Get up here. All of you. I want all of you that fit the description.
Sexual sin or what is it?
Huh?
Not sexual sin, just...
It doesn't matter what it was, man. You could listen, you could have got mad and went out in one night and just indulged or did something or put something in your body that you know you shouldn't have. And for some reason, you've never felt the same mentally, concentration, whatever. Get up here and get that restored. Stuff like that. You guys with me? Don't wait for me. This isn't a charismatic thing. It's a you and Jesus thing. Thank Him right now that He loves you. The best thing you can do is believe He loves you. The best thing right now you can do is just thank Him that He forgives you and you are not the person you used to be. That's a good thing. Yeah? Come on, get up here. I need everybody up here that fits this description. Please, don't stay in your seats. Don't be afraid of what a friend will think. Don't be sitting with a parent and think, oh my gosh, I can't come up here because of my parent. Get up here. If you need to be here, get here. Why would you miss this opportunity? Be humble. When you get up here, it's humility. It's saying, look, I ain't ashamed because this isn't me. Yeah. And it's time it goes. Yeah. You all here? That feels good. That's good. Thanks for coming, guys. Thanks for coming. Yeah, you can just flow, man. You can just play. I'm getting up here so they can see me for a minute. I got to do something. Do I have everybody? I feel like, are you coming? Good, because I just heard I needed three more, so I know I need two. Don't sit. Get up here right now. I need two people. Thank you. I'll take a bonus. Oh, yes, he's going back. Thanks. I got him. Ha-ha! I knew I heard that, man. I just heard three, and he was running. I said, well, then it's two. Thanks for coming, guys. We're ready now. I need every person to look at me. This is the biggest question I'm going to ask you. And grace is going to come on your situation when you answer this question. And it's not maybe that I need to lay hands on everybody, but I need you to answer this question. If you could go back and do things over in your life and change some places you've been and some things you've done, and you were given somehow that supernatural opportunity to go back and rewrite the slate in light of what you know now, would you go back and change that thing?
Yes.
Would you?
Yes.
Would you go back and do something different?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, then let me tell you some good gospel news. And the people I'm looking at aren't the people you're remembering that you're standing up here for. You've become changed. And you're not the girl you were before. And I want you to see that, honey, and never look back. No, that's good. Let him love you. Let him wash over you. Don't you live in any condemnation ever. Don't you live in any regret. You stand holy and you stand pure before your God. Man, I feel the love of God towards you. Listen to me, girl. You are so vindicated and free. Your heart has cried enough a certain way. And God says tonight, your tears are changing. Tears of freedom, tears of redemption, and tears of joy. And no matter what you did to your body and yourself, God's changing that tonight. I'm telling you, He is. And He's making all things new. See that? That's a new thing going on in you. There's going to be new tears. No looking back. I said it last night. We're not Lot's wife. We're his wife. A holy thing. A holy girl. Wonderful in his sight. He shed his blood and made it right. You can't do a thing but believe. And go ahead and receive new life. Through me, says God. We settle this matter tonight, young lady. And you stand before your God as if you've never sinned. And you stand holy and upright and blameless. Spirit, soul, and body. Till he comes.
Yeah.
Lift your hands to heaven. Say, thank you for loving me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for removing everything from my life that isn't you. Removing everything concerning where I've been and what I've done. Clean, holy, and pure in your sight. I'll never look back. You make me new. You love me. You're not mad at me. You're not mad at me. You're not mad at me. It's all right. Just let her sit there. Just sit. Just hold her there. She won't mind. God bless you, Nina. God bless you, girl. I see your heart going free. I see a bird flying out of a cage.
Thank you, Lord.
I see your soul opening wide, and I see light shining in. There's like a prison that it seems like you were enveloped in, and I see God loosening that thing. I see these bars opening wide, and I see you going free tonight. You're not a prisoner of your emotions. You're not a prisoner of memories. You're not a prisoner of dreams and regrets and traumas and thoughts. You're a woman of God with a pure heart and a pure desire. Have you not cried before me, says the Lord? Have you not sorrowed in the secret place? Have I not seen and heard and understood, said God? For surely I wash over you, my queen, and surely I cause you to know you're mine, and I myself make all things new. Yeah. Shedabakasa. Yeah. Holy. Come on, God, wash your kids. Make them clean. Rocky, be free, man. Be the man you're called to be. In Jesus' name. No past. Just a present and things to come, sweetheart. No past. That's right. Wash your Holy Spirit right through her. Thank you. Make all things new. Yeah. Bless you, sir. God, I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. I bless you. Be clean and be free. is if you've never sinned, you know He forgives you, right, honey? If you could go back and change things, you would, wouldn't you? You can't. The only answer you'd have is regret if there was no gospel. And God doesn't want you to ever live there again. Never another day of regret. You can't change where you've been. But who you are can change. And when who you are changes, God will never judge you for where you've been, but who you've become. And He will never mention it on that day. So we're going to let it die tonight. And God, I thank You. You take away every mark and every memory and make all things new. Yeah. All things new. All things new. Yeah. Oh, all things new. All things new. Yeah. New mind. A new brain. Right?
Yes.
A new brain. Yeah. In Jesus' name. As if you never did anything to damage it. That's right. Neurologically. The wiring, God. Right now. That's good. Thank You. The great electrician of the mind. You made it. You sure can fix it. Man can't even touch the brain, God. And it was all in Your breath that it came. One breath and a brain was inside a man. You can sure make it right. Yeah. God, I worship You. I bless You people back here. I can't get to everybody. I didn't even plan on touching y'all, but it just feels right. Be patient with me out there, guys. I don't know. This is the fun part for me. I just love people.
Jesus.
Yeah. All things new. Clean and free and righteous. Whoa, yeah. All things new. Whoa, yeah. All things new. I got to get to this couple back here. This is tearing me up. Yeah. Oh, this is good. Clean and free, God. Yeah. Clean and free. That's good. Washed right through. All things new. Never the same. Not to blame. Yeah. Yeah. Tcha. More, God. Deeper, Lord. Right through. Sanctify their home. Bless the marriage. Purify their lives, God. Let the family know You like never before. Let their hearts burn. No looking back. Yeah. I don't know. I just hear no more up and down. No more looking around. Straight and steady into His arms. This night, God says, I've been waiting for You. Arms open wide. And You came running in. And now I'll hold You tight and make it right. It's going to be a good night in me. Oh, man, I'm going to have fun yet, I'm telling you. I'm getting a little loose. I don't usually get too loose, but I'm feeling it good.
I know you're feeling it.
Yeah, it's because God loves people. You know what's wrong with me right now? God loves people.
Amen.
And you know what else? He's merciful. He's not judgmental. And He gives people the chance to change. It's all right. Receive it. Don't fall. It's all right. Just receive. You know what? I hear the Lord says, it's time to stand. To stand in Me and to stand through all things. For you've been up and you've been down. And sometimes there's a season you felt like there wasn't no way you were getting up. But here you are, up again and standing before Me. And I'm putting a strength in you and a revelation in you that's going to cause you to stand all the days of your life. For I'm going to change the way it's been. I myself, says the Lord, am going to do it. And I'm going to cause you to be rock solid. No more up and down. No more here and there. No more good one day and not sure the next. I myself am causing you to see and causing you to stand and causing you to be. Yeah. That's a good place for you to stay. Live there. How about it? Oh, God. You make all things new. It's all right. No, it's all right. In Jesus' name. Come and love your girl. Come and love her. Wholeness. Freedom. Yeah, that's right. Not one mark from yesterday. The present and things to come. In Jesus' name. You too. You too. Be patient out there with me, guys. I'm doing my best. Oh, oh, oh. Yeah. Never going to touch you again for this. This thing's changing in Jesus' name. Changing. Tonight you leave her life. You let her go. That's right. No. You let her go. Not one mark remain. God, what a heart you're putting in her. What a good thing. I just saw a potter. I just saw hands just full of clay. I saw a wheel spinning and it looked like a heart. And God's just rubbing his hands around and over and shaping and molding. Trimming.
He gave me that picture.
I guarantee it. I see it. Isn't that awesome? She said, that's the picture he's just been giving me. Her heart on a potter's wheel. You can't make this stuff up, guys. And he's my father and her father too, so it's not a strange thing that I'd see that. Of course I would. It's not because I'm a man of God. It's because he loves her. Amen. Yeah, but I am a man of God. Yeah. And this is what I hear. I hear the Lord saying, there's not even a veil and a tarp to remove and go, ta-da. I've already done that.
Amen.
When I washed you and saved you. But I'm forming you and I'm fashioning you. And I'm doing a work in you and I'm naming you Masterpiece. Because you're a piece of the Master's work. And you're my girl. My eyes are fixed on you. And you've made peace with it, and you know, and I don't know why I'm seeing that age around 9, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, but he said, my eyes were never off of you. My eyes have never been off of you. My eyes have been on you the whole time. And one day you'll understand, but when you cried, I cried, and I wooed, and I paid a price to move and make arrangements to get you out of there and get you free and draw you back to me. And didn't I keep your heart? And you're not hard and you're not lost and you're not mad and you're not afraid. You're mine, says God. And today at this age of maturity, looking back, you'll see that I really was there. And I guarded your heart and I had that heart spinning on that wheel when you were 7, 8, 9, 10. And I even hear 11. Look what I've done to you. And look how you've let me. Way to go, girl. I have always known you. I have always loved you. And I hear the Lord saying, the best is yet to come. Whoa!
Yes.
I'm having so much fun. Jesus, that's right, wash your girl. Oh my goodness, that's so good. No, that's good, honey, don't move. Please don't mind my hands on the side of your head, it's okay. I'm not just a man. I'm representing Jesus to you tonight. I'm letting you know he'll never touch you wrong. And he makes everything right. I'm going to do something. It'll be okay. It's going to help you. It's just okay to be loved. It's just okay to be held. I'm not just a man. I'm representing him to you. He's in me and he's holding you. You know what I hear him say? I got you in my arms, and I'll walk you through And I'm in a dance with you, and I'll dance you through. Don't be afraid, I'll never touch you wrong. I've always been there to do you right, says the Lord. And let your life be a dance with me. And I'll dance you through the night, and I'll dance you through the day. I'll dance you all the way through, says the Lord. I'm healing you. I'm healing you of things that people said will take a while. I'm healing you of things you'll never have to think about again. As my son holds you in his arms, I'm making all things new. Yeah, and see, you're not afraid to be loved by me. And you're not afraid to believe and trust again. Oh, you're not scarred. You're not hurt. You're not in trauma. You're in me, says the Lord. You're in me, and I'm in you. Yeah, and now you see. Oh, I'm having so much fun. Yeah. Bless you, honey. Everything's going to be different. I promise. I promise everything's going to be different. You'll see. Yeah. I need you to look at me. It's okay. I love you. And I still don't even know your name. I love you in the Lord. And I call you precious and valuable and worthy. 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 Bless you. Would you give her a hug for me? Yeah, I'm having so much fun. we just saved the best for last. It took me 6 services to get loose. Bless them, God. You're making all things new. Yeah, I'm just going to say what I heard as soon as I touched you. It might sound a little strange or hypo, but I heard I'm proud of you. So I'm not even sure why I heard it. You probably know. But when you were faced with choices, I feel like you made the right one. When you had options, you singled it down to one. And I feel like tonight you made a real good decision just to walk up here, and it's a statement of where your heart and your life is. And you're searching for right things. And as soon as I laid my hand on your shoulder, I heard, I'm proud of you. Bless you, sir. Keep making right choices. Keep being a good example to those around you. And don't believe what people say you were. Believe what you've become. Yeah. Thank you. Bless you. Touch your Jesus in a very intimate and special way. And encourage her heart and strengthen her heart. And give her hope for the future. God, thank you. God, I thank you that you make her identity rock strong. I thank you she's never insecure. I thank you, God, that her esteem is not shaken. She's not compared to people and other girls. She's not under pressure. I thank you, God, she has nothing to prove the joy of becoming. And I pray that her whole life be graced with freedom and blessing in that truth. And that from this day forth, it would never be said that she strived or struggled, but that her heart herself would know what a life of grace and what a life of peace. You'll see. You're going to walk in that, kid. It's too late. It's here. Yeah. God, I worship you. Thank you, Father. Make all things new. Wash these men. Cleanse them, God. And bring freedom. In Jesus' name. Yeah. Whoa, whoa, yeah. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Come on, God. It's all right. It's good. That's merch. Stand there. Stand there. That's all right. No, that's his presence. That's awesome. Now, you need that right there. That's good. It's not an enabler. He's just assuring you. That's what I hear. He's saying, you know what? I didn't go anywhere. I'm right here. Oh, that's so refreshing. Yeah, no, that's okay. I know that's intense. But just stand there. It's good. He said, I didn't go anywhere. I'm right here. Did I not say I'll never leave or forsake you? I'm always here. Don't live for a feeling. Don't live for a moment. Live for me, says God. Don't live to feel my love. Don't live to experience a feeling. I want to pull you out of that. I want you to live by faith. I want you to just know that I am, says God. And I just touched you the way I touched you just to say, hey, I'm merciful and I'm kind and I want you to know that I'm here. And I'm telling you personally, I'm not going anywhere. So if you wake up and I seem far away, don't you live by seem. You live by faith. And you get out of bed and say, good morning, Father. And I'll be right there. And I will make your heart so aware of me. And I will make the stronghold of your life your faith in me. For anyone that cometh to me must first believe that I am. I'm working a stronghold of faith in you, says God. And you won't live by what you seem. You'll live by what you believe. And I'm bringing you into the strongest place you've ever known, says God. I'm here. And I ain't going anywhere. Yeah. Man, that's just good. Come on, Jesus, touch your kids. Bring freedom, God. Bring healing. Yeah. Oh. Bring it, Jesus. Bring it, Jesus. Bring it, God. Yeah.
It's my little precious girl again.
God, you here for prayer? You just supporting these guys.
Bless you.
Thanks for making her whole, God. Thanks for making her whole. God, thank you. Oh, no regrets. Don't listen to me. Don't let anything harden and blind your heart, sweetheart. Watch this. God doesn't want you to justify anything. Don't make anybody your reason. Let Jesus be your reason. I'm not correcting you. I'm not embarrassing you in a crowd. I'm fathering you right now because I hear God. Don't you let your heart be decided by human reasoning and natural wisdom. Don't you let a friend's advice keep you in a certain place. I hear God rescuing you from a place. Don't you justify anything and say, yeah, but well, if then how come, then why? Throw it all away. It's a lie. He said, I came in the midst of all that and gave my life to get you out of all that. Don't live there, my dear. And don't let anything dull or harden your heart because I made it too precious. It's more precious than that. It has a greater potential than that. Don't let the memory of yesterday, don't let the failure of former things, don't let the rationale of close ones and relatives and loved ones and the way they weren't and the way they were teach you a lie. Don't look there to find truth. Look to me and my son. And that's where you'll find my love for you. And I hear the Lord saying, questions aren't wrong, but I hear him saying, you've been asking some of the wrong ones. Don't keep your mind in a trial. Don't keep your mind in a courtroom. Let it all go. I hear the Lord saying, evidence this. Look what that's been producing. And let that be your answer. It can't be good. Oh, you're so much more. So much more. Oh, God, thank you for her. Thanks for loving her. Thanks, God. Thanks for blessing her and showing her grace in this season. Thanks for letting her heart be alive and teachable and retainable. Yeah, I know those things made sense to you. I know they didn't offend you. They challenged you. They were real. They made total sense to you. I know they did. Because he's my papa and he's yours too. And I love you, girl. And you're so much more. So I'm your brother and I ain't going to let my sister hang out there. I ain't going to let you stay there, girl. I'm going to see that stuff because his heart's in me. My father can tell me anything because I'll use it rightly. I don't have to strain to hear his voice. He can tell himself anything. So if my heart becomes one with him, I'm in. And he loves you. He just coached you. He just cheered you on. He didn't correct you. He guided you. And you're going to be all right. There's this freshness coming into you right now. There's this fresh joy for life. There's this chip that won't be on your shoulder. Ain't nobody gonna owe you a thing. Nobody. Because you got everything from him. That's your testimony, girl. My sister. Ain't this fun? Bless him, God. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll pray for your foot later. God. Bless her, God. That's right. Thanks for her humility, his humility to come up here. God, no matter what they're going through, whatever's been going on in their life, I pray that you seat them in a great and wonderful place tonight. That you burn a fresh conviction in their heart, illuminate them with wisdom and understanding. God, I thank you for making all things new. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You make all things new. Everybody, lift your hands, please, to heaven. And just thank him for loving us right now. Just thank him for touching us. Amen? Thank him for making all things new. You might need to sing something out, man. You might. Just thank him right now that you're clean, that he loves you, that he forgave you. If you're sitting out there, thank him for new life. Thank him for the forgiveness of sin. Thank him that you're a slave to righteousness. Come on. Honor him and thank him. Yeah, all things new. God, I worship you. Yeah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Hey, where's one of the pastors of the church? Where are they at? I need a pastor, one of the pastors. Come on. Please. I'm not, yeah. Pat, I'm not like being controlling right now. I just need you up here, buddy. I need a, my sound man's playing the keys, ain't he? I'm going to need somebody to unhook my mic so I can get in my bag. Here's the deal, guys. I need you to understand this. I'm going to have to get to an airport, okay? Now listen. I wish I could stay, hug y'all, talk to y'all for 2 hours. I got to go to the airport. I got to get my mic. Please honor that. I want you to know I love you guys. I told my wife on the phone, I don't know when I ever felt so respected by a group of people as this weekend. Not that I need that. I'm not looking for that. But it came out of you so genuine. You weren't stroking me. It wasn't a weird thing. It was a genuine respect for the Jesus you're perceiving him in. It was just, it was amazing. And I just was able to be, it just seemed like the revelation just poured. And you guys are like so positioned for what God's doing. So I want you to be encouraged. And I want you to know that we can live this way. We can do this thing. This thing is not too far out there. Yeah? We can live this thing. So you be the own best steward of your own heart. And you don't let your life depend on any other factor but him and the truth. And you become mighty in God and free in all things. And watch the influence that has all around you. Now watch this. If the people I'm looking at in this room begin to live that way, imagine the effect that'll have in the long run. We can't even measure that, people. And that's not hype. Keep your hearts encouraged. If what you're thinking and what you're believing isn't encouraging you and producing life, it's a lie. So keep your eyes on him.